Well, quiet outdoor recreation encompasses a wide variety of activities, from hunting and fishing to rock climbing. According to a study that examined outdoor recreation on BLM lands in the year 2015, non-motorized recreation accounts for maybe up to 80% of the economic impact of all outdoor recreation, at least on BLM lands. The study was done for the Pew Charitable Trusts, and it covered the year 2015, but numbers have been updated, especially for the BLM lands in northwestern California. The study was done by Kristen Lee, and she's joining us this morning. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
Now, you represent an organization that did this study. Tell us about your group and how you came to write the study for the Pew Charitable Trust.
Sure. Yeah, I am an economic analyst with a private consulting firm called Echo Northwest, which is based in Portland, Oregon. And the Pew Charitable Trust contacted us and commissioned this study on quiet recreation. This particular study focused on the area in Northwest California, looking specifically at lands managed by the Bureau of Land Management.
And so why specifically did the Pew Charitable Trusts commission this study? What was their motivation for that?
Well, I guess, first of all, I'd have to say you'd have to ask them to get the full story. Because we just crunched the numbers. But in working with them, I understand that, there are some planning processes around recreation and land management. And they were interested in this area of quiet recreation because it's a topic where there was a little bit of gap in the information. They wanted to bring to light, how much quiet recreation is happening out there, and how does that translate economically into the local communities? So that's where we came in.
So what specifically is the definition of quiet transportation that you used for the study?
Quiet recreation is recreation.
Quiet recreation, yes, sorry.
That's okay. So it's recreation that does not involve significant use of motors or motorized equipment. So I mean, you mentioned it at the outset. Things like snowmobiling would be excluded. Things like using ATVs would be excluded. Powerboats. Or just driving for pleasure. For some folks, going on a nice drive to enjoy the scenery, that would be a non-quiet recreational use. So that means that everything else, hiking, camping, hunting, to the extent that those folks engaged in those activities aren't using motorized equipment, those would all be quiet recreation.
So I imagine it might be, in some instances, a little bit difficult to quantify some aspects of quiet recreation. For example, if somebody used a motorized ATV to haul a kayak to a remote lake, or if they, I guess, were fishing from a motorboat, how did you separate all that out?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Some recreational trips would be all quiet. Some would be a combination of quiet and non-quiet, and some trips would be primarily focused on the non-quiet activities. And I guess first I'll point out that for just transportation to the recreational site, so driving your car to get to the campsite, for example, that would still be a quiet trip. We didn't exclude, you don't have to hike all the way in to your recreation site to, you don't have to be super hardcore to be considered quiet recreation in our analysis. But to get at your question about how did we separate, the uses, that took some statistical analysis, and we relied on extensive survey work of recreational visitors across a vast array of public lands, not just in Northern California, but so we used broad statistics to look at how many trips really are just focused on quiet recreation. They're not doing some ATV and some camping and some hiking. We really tried to hone in on those that were just quiet.
Okay, so let's get into the numbers, because the most recent numbers that came out, and they made a bit of a splash in the press in Northern California, were focused on the BLM lands in Northwest California that are managed by the Arcata and the Redding field offices. What are some of the findings that you came up with from that area?
Sure. Across those two regions combined, first, there's about 400,000 acres of land managed by the BLM in those areas. And there were about 1.3 million visits to those lands in 2015. And a visit is just a trip of any length to BLM lands for recreation purposes. So it could be an afternoon, or it could be a week-long camping or hunting trip, for example. So 1.3 million visits, and then about 80% of those visits were quiet. So a little over a million of those visits were quiet visits. And then in our report, we go through the types of activities that folks engaged in. I think the top activity was hiking. Top activity in the region was hiking. And that was followed pretty closely by hunting and camping. And then after that, it was biking, mostly mountain biking. And then the other piece of our analysis then looked at the economic side of it. So how much spending, and then the economic impacts from that spending in local communities. So the first big number there is that there was about $41 million in spending in association with those trips. And so that means, you know, folks going to the grocery store to pack, you know, picnic supplies for their trip, or picking up some gear, fueling up at the gas station, those kinds of things.
We're talking with Kristen Lee. She's with Eco Northwest, a firm that produced a report for the Pew Charitable Trust looking at the impact, the economic impact of what we call quiet recreation on BLM lands. The latest numbers we've just been talking about are from Northwest California. You can join the conversation this morning by calling us at 800-838-3760 or send us an email during the live broadcast. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Kristen, is there any demographic component to your study? Did you pull out any numbers, for example, of age and income of participants? Because we often see sort of non-motorized sports participants as, this is sort of a stereotype certainly, but younger, more economically upscale perhaps. But is that stereotype supported by any numbers you've seen?
You know, that's something we didn't look at in this study. That'd be great to look into. There's a lot of good information out there to dig into, but we were focused on the dollars, and then the overall amount of recreation. And there's a few more numbers I can give you if you're interested.
Okay, yes.
So we started with that spending, the $41 million, and then as folks probably are pretty familiar with, you know, you spend your money and you hand it over to the person at the cash register, and then those dollars may circulate a little bit more in the local economy as people are paid and then make their own expenditures, or businesses buy things from suppliers that might be local. So that $41 million, we calculate, ended up in about $50 million of economic output in the region. About $19 million of that was the value-added piece, and it supported about 570 jobs and almost $27 million in compensation associated with that employment. So those are the kinds of economic impacts that all flow from quiet recreation in Northwest California.
So in our region, we have a number of small businesses and manufacturers that actually produce goods for the quiet recreation market, the outdoor recreation market. Did you look at them at all and take into account their economic impact?
We didn't look separately at them, if you mean, looking just at individual firms that might be manufacturing goods or providing services, but we did certainly rely on the local data the local economic data that captures that information. We look at, types of retail sales and then the portion of those sales that are related to, products that are locally produced. So there's a pretty rich data source there. So it does capture those local effects. But it would be another kind of a different study to look just at the manufacturing of the area and to trace those effects independently.
We're talking about quiet recreation with Kristen Lee. She's the lead author of a report that was, I guess, dated back to the year 2015 on the impact of the quiet outdoor recreation on BLM lands. The latest numbers actually focus on Northwest California. Kristen, this is, again, maybe a question I should have asked the Pew Charitable Trust, but somebody examining this report might conclude that it might have a little bit of a bias against motorized recreation. Would we be talking about this report at all if it showed that motorized recreation accounted for 80% of the economic impact?
Well, I don't know if you'd be talking about it. You might be. when the folks from Pew and I have both presented this information together, they have been very clear right up front to say that they recognize that motorized uses are important uses for a lot of folks out there on public lands. And it is, and they, as I understand, support both types of uses on public lands. But they really wanted to fill in this gap in information. There are other studies out there that focus on other types of recreational uses. But they really wanted to bring to the table this focus on quiet recreation because it's something that just really isn't out there. And as decision makers are evaluating information and people are thinking about how to use public lands, they wanted this information to have some light on it.
Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but we're talking about motorized recreation. Do you think that the amazing numbers that Quiet Recreation has posted here in your study have a component of access related to them? For example, if you're hiking, which was the number one activity that you reported in Northwest California on the BLM lands, you have access everywhere, wilderness areas, roadless areas, et cetera. But lots of forms of motorized recreation have access restrictions placed on them. So is that component of quiet recreation that we're looking at really enhanced by the fact that it's got access everywhere?
Well, it's possible for sure. And I would, as you were speaking, I was recalling a conversation I had with one of the recreation folks in one of the BLM offices in Northern California. And he was talking about limited access to a lot of areas across the board. I think one of the offices doesn't have any campsites whatsoever on their BLM lands. And so the camping numbers were a little bit lower compared to other regions in the country that we've looked at. And so I think the hiking issue, that's a great point. But a lot of people aren't just tearing off into the wilderness. People follow trails, and when there aren't developed trails, they aren't hiking as much.
Mm-hmm.
They did point out that they have developed some mountain bike trails, and they've seen an increase in mountain biking as a result. So I think access is a definitely an important issue for all types of recreation.
So, Kristen, as you look forward on this study, it seems like you keep updating the numbers. Is this study an ongoing process?
Pew has asked us to look at recreation in some different regions of the country. And the 2015 data that we used here for the Northern California, Northwest California area were the latest data available at the time that we were crunching through the numbers. And so I guess it's sort of up to Pew if they want to keep updating things. But I wouldn't expect a lot of change, year to year. We don't have an intent to publish another study anytime soon for this area. This is sort of the latest and greatest that we have.
Okay. Kristen Lee from Eco Northwest, the author of a study for the Pew Charitable Trust on the rather impressive economic impact of quiet recreation in our region. Thank you very much for joining us this morning on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care.